Team Canada 1-0 over USA yesterday slash last night, Thursday, and you'll listen to the game on TSN 1050 and watch it on TV as well. Canada against Sweden for the gold medal game in women's soccer. The U.S. soccer star Megan Rapinoe with the ultimate comment, "We never want to lose to Canada." Well, too bad. It happened.
Well, and she said, "Well, I don't think I've ever lost to Canada." I was like, "Well, that's..." I think Canada's only got 4 wins over the U.S. in 62 years. I think they've only beat them. So it is rare, but it happens. And clearly, that game, not a whole lot happened. And then it was about the last 30 minutes. It was just, it was a nail biter. So very interesting to hear those comments from her, but more so just to see how Canada hung on there, and U.S. misses the header just by inches off the crossbar. So it could have been very different, but ended up with them headed for a potential gold medal, but at least a silver. So it's an improvement.
Yeah, I don't think they like us.
No, didn't sound like it.
But the women's hockey, competition there, like whoever loses, I don't know if you watch this, it's almost comical. The handshake line is like, whoa. Like, yeah. Nothing. No, great game. You know, no, like, you see this all the time in hockey. That's the point of the handshake line. But when those two play for a medal, and the losing side is like morose, and the handshakes, nothing.
And it always ends up somehow being those big games. It's always Canada-USA. And so many of those women play together on teams. They're professional teams.
Oh, yeah.
And obviously the men do as well. But because there's just fewer teams, and so you're seeing players more, it's just even the competition is just heightened, because you know that you're going to be back seeing these same women in your next professional game. So just, I feel like that just amps up the emotion even more in those international ones. But good on the women's soccer program, and I just can't imagine what that must have felt like for them to be in the position that they were over the U.S.
Yeah, you know, we were talking earlier, and perhaps you hope that this is the last event that has no spectators, because we're sort of spoiled here. But, you know, slowly but surely, certainly in North America, the U.S. with the NBA and the NHL rinks, and we saw it at Wimbledon, where it started out with partial crowds, and by the time it was over, it was full blast. And we're starting to see that. We expect to see that now. Obviously, here with the Jays back, you get 15,000 in there, and we don't know what the plans are for the Leafs and Raptors in the fall, but we hope, right?
Yeah, and this, again, is a great example. Like, just that game yesterday, I mean, you're trying to punch your ticket to a gold medal game, and you just don't have that crowd. I mean, you think about the Euro games and how many fans there were, and what a difference that made. And really, the Olympics feel like this, there's just a bit of a damper on it, because there's not, I mean, you understand the COVID rise of cases in Japan as it is, and you want everyone to be safe, of course, but purely from, you know, the selfish fan perspective, you want that, you feed off of it at home too, and you want those athletes to feel after they waited a year, it's been 5 years since the last Olympics, you really wish that there could just be more people there to let them, you know, feed off of as well. And especially games like this, where, you know, those first, you know, 60 minutes or so, where there's not a lot happening on the pitch, and you're, you know, that's when the crowd really can help you, right? Keep you engaged, keep you in it. And this, hopefully, fingers crossed, will be the last major sporting event where we don't see any fans there to cheer players on.
So let's refocus on the Canada-Sweden game Thursday night, gold medal women's soccer. Karina LeBlanc is here, former Canadian national keeper, CBC Tokyo 2020 analyst. At Karina LeBlanc is the Twitter account. Karina, welcome. How are you today?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
Very good. So let's go back to the win over Team USA. How emotional was that for you?
It was exciting. I mean, it's been over 20 years, and I think it's a testament to this team and the unit that they are. But most importantly, like, this is a team driven by the goal of saying we want to change the medal, the color of the medal in this country. And just the fashion where it was the game before, when it's a penalty kick shootout, you know, and then, you know, to win gold, you know, you have to beat the best. And of course, here's the story. We play the U.S., and they find a way to get the result, and Jessie Fleming stepping up and taking that penalty kick with all the pressure on her, and just being cool, calm, and collective, and putting it inside netting was just, it was phenomenal.
From a team perspective, Karina, what was the most impressive part of that win for you? Because it was an interesting game just as it played out, and kind of slow to start, and then things got more intense, obviously, towards the end. But from a team perspective, what stood out to you?
From a team perspective, just the fact that it is a complete team. You know, I think a lot of people going into these games knew about Christine Sinclair, and it was all about Christine Sinclair. But you see her in that moment put the ball down and have Jessie Fleming step up and rise, and I think it's a testament to her leadership of the kind of leader that she is. She's not about herself. She's always been, from the years I played with her, and she's continued to be that way, about the most humble human being and leader that I've ever known. But most importantly, in that moment, it was Jessie Fleming. I mean, she could have stepped up and said, you know, I missed the last PK. I'm going to make sure I show the world that I can score. But she's like, here you go, Jessie, have it. And I think what you see is a complete team of 22 players, not even just the 18 on the roster, fully believing in this and finding ways to just keep being history makers and legacy levers in this conversation.
Karina, why would anybody ever say we never want to lose to Canada? I would suspect you'd never want to lose to anybody.
Listen, I mean, the USA is just, that rival is just beautiful. I mean, I think this team is showing a whole different level of what Canadian soccer is about and can do. And, you know, you watch that game and they walk into that game and there was complete belief. I mean, I think in our generation, it was like, you know what, one day we're going to beat the U.S. and we believe we can. Maybe this is the day. But they stepped into that game and they're like, this is the day and this is our story and we're going for gold, and just in the way happens to be the number one team in the world, but we got it. And I think that's why Canadians have fallen in love with this team and they'll continue to do so.
So when Canada takes on Sweden for that gold medal, what are they going to need to either continue to do, improve upon? What are going to be the keys if they're going to come away at the top of the heap here in women's soccer in Tokyo?
I think you're going to continue to need to see the players rise. I mean, Vanessa Gilles, we've talked about her. I mean, here's a player under 10 caps, has shown the world while she's a top defender. She's doing things that, you know, aerially dominating on the offensive and defensive side. Ashley Lawrence, we all know her, but her continuing to be brave, going up and down the flanks, getting the ball to Quinn, hitting those diags, Desiree Scott being brave and turning, Christine Sinclair not, you know, making sure she's coming off the front and making sure she's receiving the ball, creating space in behind. I could tell you a list, but it doesn't matter. It's a gold medal game. You know, Sweden's going to go in with a game plan. Everyone's going to need to be focused, but at the end of the day, it's going to be hot. It's going to be the sixth game. Everyone's going to be tired. It may not be the prettiest game, but at the end of the day, it's going to be the team that just can find a way to win and rise and be a collective unit and just bring home that medal for their country. And hopefully, that's Canada.
Karina, can you put yourself on that team under those conditions in a pandemic with no crowd, with the searing heat? What are the factors there? How much does that affect what happens?
Yeah, I mean, everybody wants to talk about the no crowd and, you know, COVID. The reality is that's what's inspiring this team, because they've all been through different difficult moments. They all have their stories. And, you know, at some point in some moment, they'll all get to tell their stories. But this is a team that's been playing through COVID restrictions. You know, they've been going through tests every single day. They've had to play in bubbles. And so it's a business trip for them. This is not necessarily the Olympic Games like we all want to talk about. This is a business trip with the end in mind, is bringing that gold home to this country. So for them, I don't think it's as much of a distraction. You know, I think they've played in empty stadiums. This is women's football. This is what they're in some aspects used to. So for them, it's more of what is it going to take for us to be connected and collected to bring home this medal with all the circumstances. I think the heat plays an issue. There's so many other things, but I think those to them are just excuses. You won't see this team, if they're not successful, talk about anything else other than they wish they could have gotten it done. I think it's the same thing for Sweden. So I think it's just going to be a matter of I don't know. It's, you just find a way at this point. You know, both teams want to win gold, but I'm inspired by the connection that I see this team has. I'm inspired by the quality of the people and the players on this team, and I'm inspired by their why to bring this home. And it's more than just, again, a medal and a gold, but they know that it'll change the conversation in this country if they bring home that gold medal.
Yeah, and could you even expand on that and characterize what a gold medal win for this program would mean for Canadian women's soccer in general? And even if it is a silver medal, even that impact that could have on the game here and where it goes?
I mean, one of the things that every player on that team wants is a professional league in this country. So I think those are the conversations you're going to have. You're going to have more people step up and say, how can I be a part of this conversation? What role can I play? Whether it's corporate sponsors whether it's coaching, you know, I get to put a plug in here as head of women's football, is CONCACAF. I mean, that's one of the things we want, is we want this game to continue to rise. And now we see the Americans won the World Cup and how beautiful it is that Canada won the Olympic medal. And, I mean, it just shows the testament that in this region we have the best of the best. And when you have that, the development has to be part of the conversation. So I think for these women, when you talk about history makers, it's obviously they're going to have their names in the history books, but it's that legacy leaving of how are we making the game better than when we came into it. And I think we all know that means that it's having more of the conversation of what is women's football in this country and what is the legacy of winning Olympic Games. And I think that's the conversation we're all going towards.
So without that pro league, I mean, how frustrating is it and how close could it be?
You know, time will tell. I think that's a conversation for after the Olympics. I think that's where, you know, I know CONCACAF and Canada Soccer, this is something we're all working towards, and this is something the players want. So, you know, those were one of the beautiful things we want to go towards, but I can tell you it's definitely front and center in the conversations. And post-Olympics, let's dive into that.
We will. We have your number. We will. Karina,
there
thanks.
You go. Oh,
thanks.
You do have my number now. Uh-oh.
Yeah. Thanks very much, Karina.
No problem. Have a great day.
You too. Thank you. Karina LeBlanc, former Canadian national keeper, CBC Tokyo 2020 analyst. At Karina LeBlanc is the Twitter account. And again, the gold medal game, Sweden against Canada, 10 p.m. on Thursday night. And we will have the call from Gareth Wheeler, who will do it for us.
Yeah, that's going to be, it's so tough with these time changes, Jim. I got to tell you, 10 p.m., that's dangerously close to my bedtime. So I'm going to try, though. I'm going to try. I want to see if the women can pull it off. It would just be, you think they've had bronze, I believe, the last two games. And it just feels like with Christine Sinclair being the position she is now and, you know, the legacy that she's going to have regardless of how it ends. But just to see her have that experience, I think, alone is worth, you know, trying to stay up past 10 p.m.
It is, you know, but, you know, that void of not having the professional league to sort of maintain and develop elite talent is kind of bothersome because it's happened in other sports and they've fixed that, but it has to happen here.
Yeah, and that's such a battle that women's sports, it seems, in every category faces, but it's something that you wouldn't even think about until someone brings it up and reminds you, like, oh, hey, there's a team right now that's going to compete for an Olympic gold medal in a sport that the country they play for doesn't actually have a professional league for them. Like,
right.
The disparity between those ideas, it's even more impressive that these women have found a way without the support and the, you know, from in the country that they're representing, that they have still been able to accomplish what they are, even without the professional league here, without that same, those grass, that initiative, right, to really put you know, those players in a spotlight and to celebrate what it is that they do. They've still found a way to be successful and be in the conversation and to continue to excel. So it's a big moment for that program. And if we're talking about a professional league here for women's soccer in the future, you know that we'll be able to tie it back to these games and
right.
And Rio as well.